Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 1. I didn't preach this in the first service, so we're all messed up as a church. Amen. Verse 1, and the angel, notice this, and the angel that talked with me came again and waked me. As a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Talking angel. Verse 5, the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these things be? And I said, no, my Lord. Verse 6, then he, who the angel sent from the Lord, answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel, this is the angel speaking, have laid the foundation on this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Now here's my verse, verse 10. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord that run to and fro throughout the whole earth. I want to preach to you today about this amazing verse. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Zechariah chapter 4. It's very meaningful to me as a pastor because it's one of those great promises that has helped us build the church. Zechariah 4 has been a theme, and the Lord dropped something into my spirit about that, the verses I just read, and I've never focused in on just the one that I'm looking at, but that whole bunch of scriptures that I read are powerful, powerful verses. Zerubbabel was sent back to build the temple. It was devastated and destroyed, and he was released from Babylon captivity to go back. He had favor with the king of Babylon to rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls and the city. And as he went back, it started off great. But then, as the text said, it was like a mountain that was standing before him. He laid the foundation, and then nothing happened. He got it going, but the dream and the vision that God gave him ceased. And the angel, God sent an angel, and the angel said, thus says the Lord to you, Zerubbabel, the mountain that you're facing, God is going to smooth it out. It will become, it will move from a massive, uncrossable mountain to a smooth highway and plain that you will be able to walk right into the promise that God gave you. And then he said something else powerful. And he said, and your hands laid the foundation. God started it. And he said, your hands are going to finish this project. For who has despised the day? Do not despise the day. One translation said, of small beginnings. It's an angel talking about small things, about seemingly insignificant. Don't make little. Don't despise the small start. Don't despise how insignificant it looks like your dream is just so down here when you were believing for so much bigger and so much greater that I was going to do. And I'm preaching today about this angel talking about small things. I want to call it small talk from angels. Zerubbabel was in the dilemma. He was in an unfinished building project. God sent him to rebuild the walls, and now nothing's happening. It's been 10 years. The workers stopped showing up. They were being sued. You can read the story. They were literally being shut down by the government that was against what they were doing. In that time, the leaders over that providence shut them down time after time. And the project was started, but it was sitting there unfinished for over 10 years. And God sent an angel to a depressed leader, a person who started out with a blaze of a vision and great success, and now it's just not happening. It's just not, there's no progress being made in what Zerubbabel knew God had called him to do. And the angel goes to this depressed leader with a little small talk. He says, let me tell you the key to this whole miracle is don't you despise the little small part that God has started, because if God ever starts something, he is the author and he is the finisher. He will never leave it like it is, even though you've seen nothing taking place for 10 years in that area of your life. The devil was whispering in Zerubbabel's ear, you are a dismal failure. You ought to give up on that vision, give up on that dream, give up on that hope, because it's not going to happen. He's standing in the middle of the unfinished. He's depressed. Nobody's showing up. The excitement for the vision and project has waned, and it's over. Have you ever had location frustration? By that I mean you know where you're going, but you don't understand where you are. Do you think that we just showed up and bam, the Lord gave us all of this? Do you have any idea 30 whatever years ago, how that it looked so impossible to be where we are today? How many times hell whispered to me, you can't afford it, you can't do it, you are not good enough, this church can't do it. And in those moments, that's when you need some small talk from the angel. Because God rarely starts out big and majestic. He says, I want to find people who value, despise not the day of small beginnings. God called you. God gave you the vision. He started it, and now you're discouraged. But here comes an angel. I might be that angel today. Here comes an angel with small talk. He said to him, if you keep reading, and I think I read it, he said, what do you have in your hand? He said, I got a plumb line. That's the thing these builders use. He said, all I got is a plumb line. He said, well, that's what I'm going to use. That's the small beginning. In other words, just hold the line. When God's told you something, don't despise the day of small beginnings. I called you. I sent you. Your hands started it. Your hands are going to finish it. It's not by might. It's not by your talent and your power and your connections, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Well, what do I do? You get out front and you hold the line. Just hold the line. Do what I told you to do. 10 years, nobody showed up. And then he said, and then take the finishing stone. The headstone was the last stone that you put in when the project was complete. And he said, go get the headstone. And it was a big deal back then. And he said, start shouting at the headstone. I preached a sermon on this, and it was while we were building this building. And even my little son, Drake, rode in my lap. He was a little bitty fella, and they put us on a bulldozer. When we walked from the old building to this building as a church, I preached and we got out and walked down the street and came here. And we dedicated this property, and we had a bulldozer, and me and Drake got on the bulldozer. I wish they'd have let me drove it around a little bit, but they didn't trust me to do that. And we set up there, and it was running, but they wouldn't let us go nowhere. Amen. But the Lord gave me a message in the middle of that, and he said, tell the people, every time they ride by the property, shout, grace, grace. Which means this. If God's grace doesn't do it, you can forget it. If you've got a dream and it's bigger than what you're able to do, and it started out amazing, and now you're in a place where a lot of activity is just not happening concerning that call and that dream, it's going to take the grace of God. There isn't a grace that God can give you to do a thing. Sometimes we look for the big things, but there's such glory in the small, significant thing that the grace of God is upon you. And that's what the angel was saying. Zerubbabel standing there in the midst of the unfinished, wanting to quit. I need to tell somebody listening to me today, it's never a good time to quit. You say, but I'm going through hell. Well, don't stop there. Keep on moving. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't camp out in it. You know, God notices a holding on spirit. Just get out front and hold the line sometimes and say, I'm not letting go until you bless me. It's the little things. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Some of you keep waiting on some big thing to happen, and then, but God says, everything I do starts small. The Bible said in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, who are you, O Bethlehem, though you be small? You're tiny, you're small, but God had such a big plan for that little, little town called Bethlehem. David, the king of Israel, would be born in that city. And later, Jesus Christ would be born in that city. It was the beginning. What if they had despised the small beginning? There's glory in the little thing when God's hand is on it. The scripture said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was a saying back then, because it was considered the smallest little nowhere place in Israel in Bible days. Can anything good come out of that side of town? Can anything good come out of that bad neighborhood? Can anything good come out of that dysfunctional family? Despise not the day of small beginnings. It's little, but it's loaded. The word despise means do not undervalue where you are. Joseph learned to not devalue where he was. And when they threw him in a pit, stripped him of his coat, he was sold into Egyptian slavery. The scripture said when they put him in Potiphar's house, he did not despise the day of small beginnings, but he worked so hard that Potiphar, the chief executioner of Egypt, put him over his whole house. And then when Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph and they threw him into prison for a crime he did not commit, and he served 17 years for a crime he did not commit, he didn't despise where he was. But the Bible said that he worked, and he saw value where he was, and the prisoner captain put him over the entire prison, and the Bible said nothing was done in the prison that was not done through the hands of Joseph. I mean, I could see that in my mind. His cell was so clean. His bed was so made. Even his little mouse was shampooed, and he'd say sit, and it'd sit and go up on. I don't know what it was, but wherever he was, he flourished. Quit waiting on a big break. And where, if you're in prison right now, God knows where you are. And God starts something and he'll finish it. And well, I feel like preaching. And after 17 years, God said, since you didn't devalue the little things, I'm about in 24 hours to take you from the prison to the palace, and you're going to sit at the right hand of the king. I'm telling you today that until you do it good where you are, you're not going to get any more. Don't despise, I'm called to be a prophet and I'm in here flipping burgers. Well, if you don't flip them good, you'll never get to profit. Clean your car up, amen. How about the little things? Woo. I'm waiting on God to give me my house, but you, the department you're in, you don't keep it clean. You gotta value where you are, and God sees that stuff. Don't cut your grass. Got an old car up on cinder blocks. But you, God, give me more. Y'all don't like this sermon, but I like it. All right, you want Bible for it? Luke chapter 19, the parable of the talents. The first talent was given, the first servant was given a talent. And the Bible said he looked at it and said, that's all I'm getting. And the Bible said he looked at it and he, oh, this small time mess, this ain't gonna buy nothing. I'm not gonna do nothing with this. That's just a little bit. I'm gonna wait till I win the lottery and then I'm gonna do something with it. But right now, this is nothing. And the Bible said that he hid it. The second servant was given his talent and he took it. And he invested it, and he worked it, and he did not despise the day of small beginnings. And listen to this. The Bible said he was, quote, faithful with a little. Jesus said, because you've been faithful with a little. And Jesus translates faithfulness with a little to kingdom reigning. And he put him over 10 cities, if you keep reading that story. He put him over 10 cities because he was faithful with a little. And he looked at the guy who did nothing with what he had because it was too little. And he said, you are a wicked servant, and I'm going to take what you've got and give it to that guy who would do something with what he had and wouldn't despise the day of small beginnings. When God wants to remove Israel from 400 years of bondage, he says, I'm going to use an old man with a magic stick and an animal. What kind of animal? A lion? Nope. A cheetah? Nope. An eagle? Nope. A lamb. So old man with long hair and a good beard, nothing but a stick and a lamb is going to bring 2 million people out of 400 years of bondage, because that lamb's going to be slain, the blood's going to be put on the doorpost, and Pharaoh's going to give up when his firstborn dies and say, get out of here. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. And Pharaoh wouldn't have dealt with that issue had he had a little fear, because when that baby was floating down the river, y'all remember? He put out and said, kill all the babies two years of age and under. And Moses, his mother, put him in a little basket and floated him down the river. Oh, Lord, help me. I keep hearing. And Miriam, his sister, worked for Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter was bathing, and Miriam made sure that the basket went right around the curve, and she wanted a baby and couldn't have a baby, and there's a baby in a basket, and she gets it, and about that time, just coincidentally, Miriam, Moses' sister, older sister, 5 years old. All you hear about is Moses brought him out of Egypt. And Aaron, his brother, the high priest. Why don't we talk about Miriam? Moses would have died in the river. Moses would have died. And it was Miriam that said, hey, Miss Princess, that baby's hungry and you can't feed it, but would you like for me to go find a nursing mother somewhere in the village that could feed this baby? She said, yes, yes, I'm gonna take him to the palace, but I don't wanna bother with him. I don't wanna have to change his diapers or anything, and I sure don't wanna try to feed him. It won't work. So go. Y'all, women, help me out right here. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Guess who Miriam goes and gets? Oh, come on, help me preach right. Don't despise. Miriam goes and gets her mother, the mother of Moses, and she gets paid. The Bible said they paid her wages to feed the baby. She gets paid to do what she would have done for free. But it wasn't just Moses and Aaron that brought them out. We need to remember there would be no Moses and there would be no Aaron, the high priest, if there wasn't a little girl 5 years old who took control of the situation. Despise not the day of small beginnings. She was just a servant for an important person. But God said, I put you right where I want you. And there had been no 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. That was all in that little baby. Despise not the day of small beginnings. When you understand that, you know, the Bible said that God told Samuel to go anoint someone to be king of Israel in Jesse's house. And Jesse the father brought in all his boys. He had 8 boys. He brought all of them in but David. And the 7 looked like that they were king material. And Samuel started to pour the oil on them, and he said, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. And he said, do you not have anybody else? He said, I do have a boy out there, but I don't even believe in him. I'm his father. And I'm just telling you, he's just a little old. He's the run of the litter. And listen to what God said, though. I love this about God. God said in Psalm 78, I saw David when he was following the ewes pregnant with lambs. God said, I noticed David. God notices the little things about our walk, about our life, that other people don't see. God said, the first time David caught my attention, it was because he was kind to pregnant sheep. I liked how he picked up that pregnant sheep and carried it when it was struggling. And God said, you think I don't see the little things? I'm the God who notices the little things. God noticed Joshua in Exodus 33 and verse 11. For the first time, Joshua is mentioned. And the Bible said that the young man tarried in the tabernacle. He tarried in the tabernacle. When the church service was over, all of his buddies said, let's go play ball, let's have a good time. But this young lad named Joshua, God said, I notice he loves that church. I notice he won't, if he's volunteering. I notice if they need somebody to park the cars, he parks the cars. If they need somebody to usher, he ushers. If they need somebody in the choir, he joins the choir. He loves my tabernacle. He tarries in the tabernacle. He became a mighty general, but it started just loving the house. I noticed that, God said. God first noticed Elisha when he was pouring water over the hands of Elijah. It's the little things, the insignificant things. The only thing one time Jesus told the disciples to do was push the ship off the shore and make a platform for me, because there's so many people, I need to stand and borrow your business, your fishing boat. I need to use it to preach from. And all they did was push the boat out into the water to let Jesus stand and preach. Jesus notices the little things, setting the stage for a miracle. I remember when Jairus daughter was dead, the scripture said that Jesus told 9 of the disciples to wait out in the hall. He said, everybody get out of the room, and turned to 9 of his disciples and said, y'all stay out here in the hall. And he took 3 of his disciples and went in the room with him. And what I want you to understand is sometimes God watches what you do when he has you standing in the lobby, when he's doing big business behind the door in other people's ministries and other people's dreams and other people's lives and other people's visions. But they had to keep a good attitude. God had a mighty plan for all 9 of those guys. Come on, say amen. But they had to have a good attitude in the hallway when God was doing big stuff. He was raising a dead person with 3 other disciples in that room, and they didn't get to go in there. They had to stay out in the hall. Sometimes God has you in the hall to give you an attitude check. He notices the little things. It's not easy to stay in the lobby when Jesus is doing big business behind the door with other people. Keep a good attitude. The little things. Little things can distract us. Wait in the lobby, the power of waiting in the lobby with a good attitude is so important until God says it's your turn. The power of pushing the boat out and providing a stage for somebody else. It seems like it's a little thing, and they're doing the big thing. But somebody had to push that boat out. God notices the little things. Joseph had the first dream in the story of Egypt. He had the first dream. Joseph did. And then the butler had a dream. And then the baker had a dream. And then Pharaoh had a dream. It looks like God would follow the order. If you gave Joseph the first dream, you should give him the first fulfillment of the dream. But God said, nope, I'm not going to fulfill your dream until you help 3 other people with their dream first. And I can't trust you with your own vision if you can't help 3 other people with their vision. And he had to interpret their dreams and help them with their dreams, and then God let his dream come true. God says, I noticed the little things. That old donkey laid down. There was an old donkey in Israel that laid down and died. And the coyote came and tore it all to pieces and ate it. And then the buzzards landed on it and picked the rest of the meat off the bones. Nothing but a skeleton. And then an army of ants came, and I could see them gnawing away. And I mean, cleaning the bones. There's nothing left but bones. And finally, God says, is everybody finished with it? That old donkey's about to see his finest hour. Samson, go over there and grab the jawbone of that donkey and kill 1,000 Philistines with what's left. It doesn't look like much. It's a little thing, but I'm going to use it mightily. Some of you old donkeys are about to see your greatest days if you'll just believe God in the little things. Sometimes God will drop you in the middle of the strangest places and say, do it here. He took Ezekiel and dropped him in a graveyard and said, have at it. Have a revival. There's nothing here but bones, Lord. Despise not the day of small beginnings. I hate to tell y'all this, but there's just not enough wonderful places. And if you're in ministry, there's not enough great churches just to give you one. So God will drop you into places. And he'll say, let me see some passion. Let me see some prayer. Let me see some sweat. Let me see some tears. Build it. And when you get weary, endurance has to be transformed into adventure. The Lord told Jeremiah in the 29th chapter, tell the elders of Babylon who are down there in Babylonian captivity, and they want to come home to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the glory is. That's wonderful. And Babylon is such a wicked place. It's such an evil place. He said, you tell those elders there that are whining and complaining. Listen to what he said. Build houses, plant gardens, and sow and seek peace and prosperity in the city that I have put you. Pray for the peace of the city because it will prosper. And if it prospers, you will prosper. In other words, sometimes God says, build houses and plant gardens. I don't care how bad it is. And that's kind of how you feel about America right now. It looks bad, looks dark, but you know what? We're the church. And we're in Babylon right now. We're not home yet. We're not in New Jerusalem. So what are we going to do? We're going to build houses. We're going to plant gardens. We're going to be the light. We're going to stand up for what's right. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to get out and vote. We're going to say, this is our nation. And bless God, hell can't have our schools. It can't have our marriages. It can't have our communities. It can't have our cities. It can't have our Constitution. It can't have any of it. Give me a big amen, somebody. I'm not through preaching. Not many noble, not many wise, not many mighty are called. God chooses nobodies, and don't play yet, and puts them into no places to make them somebodies and some places. I remember when I was so discouraged, when we just were just fighting so many battles and needed so much, so many resources. One time the devil said, why don't you just quit? Why don't you get? Just felt like, I didn't hear his audible voice, but boy, he was riding me. It's like just a lot of stuff going on. Just quit. Why don't you give up? I said out loud, because I'm called, you fool. And I'm never going to give up. And I will not despise the day of small beginnings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this story and I'll close. And I'll point and you play when I point. True story. There was a couple in California that lived in a neighborhood, and they were real close with all their neighbors. And this was an article, and they said that that they lived up in the mountain kind of area, and there was a little valley thing on the backside of their homes, and it grew a lot of mushrooms. And so they went out, and they picked mushrooms, and this was kind of an annual thing that they would do. And they brought them back to their house. And I'm not talking about the kind you smoke. I'm talking about the kind you eat. And they picked these mushrooms. And they said, we're going to have a mushroom dinner. And we're going to have mushroom omelets. And we're going to have mushroom casserole. And we're going to have mushroom soup. And they had a big thing. Invited four or five couples from their neighborhood. And they were just having a big time. And it was a kind of an annual thing that they would do every year. And after the meal they had eaten, they kind of put some of the scraps in one of the plates. And one of the persons who lived in that house went in the kitchen just to put some dishes in the sink and had that plate of scraps and put it down for the little kitten, the cat that was in that they had as a pet. It was in the kitchen, and the cat just was gobbling up that food and just tearing it all to pieces. And so they went out and they were having a good time. Kind of came back in a few minutes later, and the cat was laying by the refrigerator with its tongue hung out, swollen in its belly, barely breathing. And he called the vet, and the vet said, I think that you might have picked what you thought was some mushrooms, but it was probably poisonous toadstools, and they can kill you. And they said, you and all of your dinner guests, did I say that right? You and all your dinner guests must get to the emergency room immediately and have your stomachs pumped out. Isn't that wonderful? So they all go to the emergency room, and 5 hours later, after what you cannot imagine came out of them, they all get home. I doubt anybody probably felt like speaking to anybody. That couple comes into their home. Everybody else has gone home. What a horrible, horrible way to end the dinner. And the wife just goes on straight to the bed. And he says, I'm going to lock up and turn the lights out. And I'm coming to bed too. And he goes in the kitchen. And the cat is sitting there with six kittens. What they thought were death pains was birth pains. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but don't misread your situation, because many times it looks like it's death pain that you're going through, when in reality you can't give birth without some birth pains. And despise not the day of small beginnings. Give God a mighty shout. You can hit it now. Praise God. Hallelujah. What are you saying? I'm saying right where you are, God can bless you. Right where you are, God can use you. Right where you are, God can raise you from insignificance to great impact for His glory. Miriam never dreamed that she would be the reason why we have five books of the Bible. You like that point, didn't you? That's good. I'm not sure what happened there. That's interesting. I'll take all the help I can get. Amen. But how many of you believe that He's the God of small things, small beginnings? What I'm trying to say to you, it's when that hand appeared when Elijah prayed, the size of a man's hand. That's all it was. But when God's in it, little is much when God is in it. And I have seen Him take just that much. And if you respond in faith to the small things, the Bible said the rain began to pour, the clouds began to multiply. You'll hear it first. He said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And I believe that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm preaching so that you will hear it first. And if you will take what you're hearing and mix it with faith and shout grace and ask God's grace to get in what you're called to do. If it's a ministry, God, get in the youth ministry. Get in the young adults. Get in it. Get in it. Get in it. Grace, grace.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.